Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 10. And I want to remind you of how chapter 9 ended. And that is, Jesus had compassion on the multitudes because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so he told his disciples, pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. Now, Matthew chapter 10, this is God's word. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Rather, go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Again, the chapter divisions were added long after the scriptures were given by God. But this chapter division should not keep us from seeing that what Jesus does in the beginning of this chapter is the answer to the prayers he told his disciples to pray. He said, the need is great. Look at how tremendous the need is. The fields are white for harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. So we presume that the disciples obediently prayed, Lord, please send out workers. And Jesus said, go. What? I didn't know I was going to be the one who was going to be used to answer the prayer that you told me to pray. That is often the way God works. That's how this place came to be. God opened our eyes to a need. And the need was so heartbreaking that we prayed and said, Lord, you've got to do something about this. And God's response was, you're right. I want to use you. Thank you for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. This radio broadcast is brought to you from the campus of Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is a home and school for kids that God allowed my wife and I to start in 1991. And through the years, children from all over the country in various crisis situations have found a safe haven at the ranch. While here, they learn about a Heavenly Father who loved them so much that He sent Jesus to save them. If you would like to join in supporting this ministry, but you're thinking, what can I do? Well, consider joining a growing group of people who've made a commitment to support these kids by leaving a gift to Ware's Valley Ranch in their will. In doing so, you'll become a member of what we're calling Legacy 145. You can learn more at wvr.org. Just click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Because Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. That's what Legacy 145 is all about. Again, wvr.org, and look for the Legacy 145 icon.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
Jesus said, harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Pray that the Lord will send forth workers. And then he sent forth the workers. He called the 12 to him. And when you look at that list of 12, it's pretty amazing. Because in that group, you've got all different kinds of personalities, various kinds of backgrounds, different job opportunities. None of these guys had been to seminary. And Jesus called them to be his representatives going out and declaring the kingdom of God is near. Kingdom of heaven is near. Now, in this group, you've got a fellow who was a former tax collector, Matthew. He's the one who's recording this for us. And you've got a fellow, Simon the Zealot. Zealots were people who wanted to overthrow the Roman occupation by force. They wanted to engage in violence in order to stand up to these foreign pagans who are invading our country and controlling everything. You couldn't have two more opposite people politically. And Jesus said, the Father wants you, the Father wants you. And he brought them together. So when they're sitting around the campfire, did they have political discussions, do you think? I think that Jesus was teaching them that the kingdom of heaven is not about fighting over earthly politics. That doesn't mean that we don't have beliefs and convictions, and in this country, the responsibility of voting. It does mean that if the focus of your life is national policy and political parties, you have a very short vision. You are nearsighted. Do we not care about those things? We should care about those things. Because when the government is seeking to do things and implement policies that are immoral, we ought to be opposed to that. But I'll tell you this. What's wrong with Washington? What's wrong with any place on earth is not going to be fixed politically. The only thing that is going to solve the problems of mankind is when people submit to the King. And one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you know that, and you realize that even now, he is already working out his purpose, and that his purpose includes a bunch of things that we would not vote for, like persecution, for example. That's what Jesus says is coming. You know, I'm not in favor of that. Jesus says, be prepared. You're going to represent me, you're going to be rejected. You're going to be opposed. You're going to be slandered. Be prepared. Well, if you're in charge, can't we fix that? It'll all be taken care of one day. But right now, you need to know what to expect. Okay, so Jesus pulls together this very diverse group, and he includes in that Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Man, I mean, I thought Jesus, like, kind of knew what was coming. He did. He came here to die. He didn't live his life trying to make sure he didn't go to the cross. And so including Judas as one of the 12, how does that make sense? Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. It was foreordained by God. Does that mean God is the author of sin and he made Judas do that? No. Judas made his choices. But God is still in control. God is still on the throne. And when bad people do bad things, you and I should not wonder, did God lose control? No. But you know what? One day, there will be no more evil. There will be no more sickness, no more suffering, and every tear will be wiped away from the eyes of God's children. So, Jesus gives the 12 authority. He gave them authority to go out and cast out demons and heal all these illnesses. Now, some of us would tend to think he gave them the power to do that. He gave them the authority to do that. When the disciples were in the boat and the storm was horrible, and Jesus came out walking on the water to meet them, they freaked out because they'd never seen anybody walking on the water before. Okay? And they're screaming. That's what it says. They cried out in fear. That's not like, ahoy! That's like, ah! And Jesus said, don't be afraid. It is I. And so Peter said, If it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Peter. Jesus said one word in response. Come. That's all it takes. Peter was able to get out of the boat and walk on the water, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Now here's the thing. Jesus didn't just give them power. Jesus gave them authority. The reason they could do what they did, and Matthew is very clear about this as he talks about all these things Jesus did. Again, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about how the people marveled at Jesus speaking with authority, not like the other teachers. And then Jesus had authority over demons. He had authority over a storm. He had authority over sickness. He had authority. Why? I only do what the Father tells me to do. It's the reason he had those disciples. That's who the Father said. Jesus did what the Father said, and therefore he could do what is impossible with man, because with God all things are possible. So, he gives them some instructions that to us are, I don't want to say crazy, but it's kind of bizarre. Notice at the end of his instructions, verse 16, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Got that? I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Okay, where's my backpack? You know, I need bear spray. I need a good utility knife, maybe a hunting knife, maybe both. What do I need in order to be prepared? If I'm going out where the wolves are and I'm a sheep, I need some protection. Jesus says this, do not, verse 9, do not take along any gold or silver or copper. You can't even take pennies. No money at all. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey. You don't get a backpack. You don't even get a purse. Take no extra tunic. None. Well, can I wear a couple of outfits, one on top of it? No. You just go as you are. No extra tunic or sandals. It doesn't mean they had to go barefoot. It meant they couldn't take along an extra pair of shoes. And don't even take a staff. Man, I'm not going to go anywhere without a staff. I mean, you got to have a walking stick. What if a wild dog comes at you? Never mind the wolves. You know, I want to be able to beat that thing off. Jesus says, I don't want you to take any of that. Why not? Because you see, obedience and authority are linked to dependence on God. Jesus wanted to teach his disciples, if you're going to go out there and say to somebody who's never been able to walk, get up and walk, you better be depending on him, not having a backup plan. God is the boss. And so we behave in dependence on him. And then, having told them, you need to depend on what you were told, on the one who sent you, he says, and by the way, it's going to be bad. It's going to be violent. There's going to be persecution. Jesus not only speaks about what they are immediately going to run into, Jesus gives them a long-term view. He talks about the fact that they're going to, here, they're only to go to the lost sheep of Israel, but long term, they're going to be out there with the Samaritans and with the Gentiles. They're going to be brought before rulers. This is going to be something that spreads all over the world, as it has. And Jesus said, persecution is coming. If they called me the prince of demons, Beelzebub, don't think they're going to like you. Jesus says, they hated me, they're going to hate you. And if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. But then Jesus says something else in the midst of talking about the tough times coming. And he says it three times in just a few verses. Verse 26, verse 28, and verse 31. You see a recurring phrase in those verses. Verse 26, verse 28, verse 31. So do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 31, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How can you tell me persecution's coming, don't be afraid? Because the most they can do is to kill your body. That's not a lot of comfort. I'm fond of this body. I feel rather attached to it. Have you ever heard of pain? Does Jesus know about pain? Does Jesus know about suffering? The problems of this life, no matter how intense they are temporary. Where will you be in 150 years? Because as I've told you so many times, wherever you are 150 years from now is where you're going to be 500 years and 1,000 years and 10,000 years and 10 million years from now. You will either be in heaven or in hell. All of a sudden in that context, suffering in this life and even the death of our body, not such a big deal. Whatever we go through in this life, it's temporary. Now, when you're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel that way. It feels intolerably intense. But the fact of the matter is God will give you grace to get through it. You're not on your own. He will sustain you. So, Jesus said, do not be afraid. But there's another point in here that I believe is very important, especially in our day. It's always been important, but Jesus talks about, at length, brother will betray brother to death, verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And then he says, verse 34, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. We are living in an age when tons and tons and tons of professed evangelical Christians who claim to believe the Bible are abandoning what Scripture says because they have a relative who is committed to a lifestyle that is contrary to Scripture. And when push comes to shove and Thanksgiving is coming and Christmas is coming and New Year's is coming and Mother's Day is coming and Father's Day is coming and 4th of July weekend is coming and so forth and so on, we don't want people to feel that they're disapproved of, that we don't love them. If you love them, don't compromise the truth. If they don't claim to be a Christian, you can still have fellowship. You can still interact because you do love them. But if anybody claims to be a Christian and is saying no to what God says, love them well by doing what God says and refusing to have fellowship with them. Finally, Jesus says persecution is coming. Don't be afraid. Rewards are coming too. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. But you've got to put Jesus first.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.